Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Surprise y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the piece, it's time to call blow.
Yeah.
The raspberry wind is fresh and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio. Here can't be beat. The flash you need. Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive or motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter self-mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening, Peachland.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you out there listening, no matter where in the world you're listening from, and welcome you to The Remix. It is Sunday night, August the 11th, 2013, and I can't think of a better place in the world I'd rather be than right here with you live in The Remix. I want to go ahead and give out the call-in number. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And if you're out there and you're listening and you want to call in and listen, this is a great place for you to be listening from. So if you're calling from an international country, all you have to do is dial the U.S. country code and then dial 646-652-2711, and that's going to get you locked in right here in The Remix. Now, if you're out there and you're calling from an international country, you can also Skype in, and that's going to be a great way for you to get into the share and get into the show. All you have to do is Skype in and come on in. The Remix family is in the house, and they certainly will make you feel welcome and right at home. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the first time, I do want to also invite you and let you know that the chat room is open. And if you want to come on over and join us in chat, all you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, all one word, and come on in. And for those of you who are guests, all you have to do is click the link at the very bottom that says sign up and come on in. Tell us who you are and come on in, and The Remix family is there. You can chat with everyone there in the chat room. They're going to make you feel welcome and right at home. So, wow, what a busy, amazing weekend it has been. You magic makers out there have been very busy, and you've been doing your work. And my goodness, today I have talked to brothers and sisters all across the globe, the country, you name it. I have spoke to them. I'm going to give some quick shouts out right here as we get ready to get into the share tonight. Joining us in the forum, certainly no stranger to The Remix and a part of The Remix family, we will have Siba Huru Alkebulan of the Hepeku Network. He is a Kemetic scribe of 20-plus years and a Siba. He's going to be joining us here tonight for this very, very special show, The Goddess History. And so you definitely want to be in the house tonight. Later on, Siba Huru will be taking some questions and answering those questions you may have. So throughout the show, I want you to write those questions down, any of those questions you may have, especially when it deals with those things of the goddess history, and particularly those things coming out of ancient Kemet. So we have an amazing show packed for you tonight. And if you guys did not get the opportunity to hear the show on Friday, I want to encourage you to go back and download, download, download. You can download tonight's show. You can also download the show from Friday night that myself and Esther did, Chat and Chill, all about dreams. And we had a blast, and so did you guys. We had so much fun doing that show. And all the comments and everything are up on the Remix Radio page over on Facebook. All you have to do, go over there and like, and it's going to get you locked in and right in. It was an amazing share. So you can download that show as well as this show, as well as the hundreds of shows that are in the archives right here on The Remix. A couple of ways you can do that. You can download it through the Remix app. If you go to the Android market, all you have to do is Google The Remix with Miss Blue. You will see the Remix logo right there. Download it. It's a gift that I gave out several years ago, and it's going to keep you locked into everything The Remix has going on, as well as there's also a new message up on the Know Your Magic line. So much to do and so much to share. Ooh, welcome to The Remix, everyone. I am so glad to be here as we get ready to get started. We're going to give some international shout out to all of our international listeners who are listening from all around the world in just a moment. I also want to say to you guys, for those of you who are self-invested, we had another self-invested class this weekend. Brother Bilal did Let's Talk About Numbers. It was a packed house with self-invested, and it was an amazing share. It was an amazing share. And so we will keep all of those classes coming and everything, and Siva Haru will also be facilitating and teaching one of those classes as well inside self-invested. So many great things. If you're not self-invested, you definitely want to do that. You can get all the details inside the show notes. Email questionsforblue@gmail.com. As well as, you know, it's Sunday night. You know what happens. Kim Deck orders go out as well. So if you want to put those orders in for your Kim Deck, you can definitely do that also. I'm just so excited about tonight, you guys. I do want to give a couple of shouts out. One of them, remember the two sisters, the two amazing sisters who came on and talked to us about the chakra teas. Well, I was able to speak to Dr. Tisha today, and she actually called me from Africa. She's in the continent of Africa right now, and she gave me a call today, and I was able to speak with her from Senegal. She called me from Senegal today, and she sends all of her blessings and love out to the Remix family for those of you who've been over and you've been ordering your chakra teas as well. So do that as well. She sends her love and you know, just checking on us and seeing how things are going. She just recently had an Earth Day to come up. So if you're ordering some of those chakra teas, you definitely want to send that out as well. And then I also had the opportunity to speak to the brother and sister from the Forgotten Foods, of course, Brother Barntunde and Sister Kyra. They have called with a very special message as well, and they want to send some love and shout out to the Remix family also. And really, their special that they were going to end at the end of the month, they decided that was going to end, on August the 12th, which was tomorrow. They decided to extend this for their 10th anniversary. And so the 3-for-100 sale is still going on to the end of the month. So definitely you guys want to do that. You want to get yourself over to the Forgotten Foods with an S.com and check out all of those Lifehood Foods goodies there, because it is so much healing food, nurturing food going on over there. So those are going to be some of the announcements as we get ready to get started and get into the share tonight. We're going to dance tonight. We're going to dance tonight. We're going to do a special kind of dance tonight. We're going to listen to Baby Blue. We're going to get right into it because we got a lot. I know Siva Haru has a lot of information we're going to be covering tonight and having so much fun with that as well. I do want to encourage you guys to keep the conversation going. We'll also be over on Facebook. All of the Remix ladies are in the house tonight. And it's so good to see you guys. It's so good to see everyone. I'm so excited to be here. Ooh, we got a lot going on, you guys. A lot going on. So I want you guys to go over to the Facebook page. I did send out a Twitter message. I'll be hanging out there as well, too, tonight in the show. Interested in getting you guys' feedback. So let's get ready to dance. We're going to hear some Baby Blue. Get right into the share. I see you guys in the chat room. I see everybody filling themselves up, getting them a seat. This is definitely one of those shows you're going to want to take some notes on and, you know, definitely download. So Yeah, let's get ready to get into the share. We're going to do these international shots out and go from there. So blessings to the seen and the unseen. It's good to have you here, wherever you're coming from, what part of the world you're coming from, because we're about to get it in. I'm going to go over to the Remix Radio page so that we can do some international shots out to all of the guests out there and everyone, even the first-timers. Glad you're in the house. Glad you're here with us. Glad you guys are here with us as we continue tonight. Yeah, yeah. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to give our international shouts out always, listening live. Big ups to the UK, listening in the house tonight. The UK is in the house. Amsterdam is in the house tonight. Big ups to Amsterdam. Japan is in the house tonight. Australia is listening live tonight. We have Germany in the house tonight. Italy is in the house tonight. Saudi Arabia is in the house. We also have Egypt live in the house tonight. We also have Indonesia in the house tonight. Barbados, Jamaica is in the house tonight. We have also have Lithuania live listening in the forum tonight, joining us here live in the forum tonight. Bosnia is live in the house tonight. Got a lot of international listeners out there. And, of course, as well as all of you guys who always come and join us from here in the West. It's a very special night tonight, you guys, and I think we all can attest to that. There's some solar flares going on, and depending on what part of the hemisphere you're at right now. So you're feeling all of these bursting stars, and you know that we're all shining stars. And so this energy is out there. It's definitely the ancestors and the gods and goddesses blessing us with this message tonight. I know that. I truly, truly know that. So we're going to give the rest of the international shots out. Get ready to dance. Canada is in the house. France is in the house. Brazil is in the house. Libya is in the house. South Africa is in the house. Spain is in the house. Kenya is in the house. Greece is in the house. All listening live right here. Nowhere else in the world to be but the Remix. So here's a little bit of Baby Blue. And then we're going to get ready for the share. I'm ready. How about you guys? You ready? I know you are.
La, 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 the Remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Okay, so tonight, you guys, as we get ready for Siva Haru to join us in the forum, we're going to be talking about the goddess history. And, you know, this is really a very, very fascinating subject for me, and one that I love to talk about as well. So much of the goddess history has gone untold, or there's been so many different interpretations of the goddess history that it leaves so much to the imagination. So it's really an honor to be able to get this information from Siva Haru, someone who studied the comedic sciences and all sciences and study history, study culture, and is a scribe himself, to be able to bring this message here for us. When we think about the goddess, it is such a complicated thing. I guess I can say that as a woman, and I'm sure my other sisters out there will agree, because we are so multidimensional, multifaceted, and we have so many different levels to us and so many different things to be discovered about us. Goddess history is something that is ongoing. It never ends. It passes down from our great, 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 great ancestors all the way up to ourselves, our children, and beyond. So it's one of those things that is ever growing every single day. And everywhere you look, I don't care what kind of corner of the world you're in or what place in the world you're in, there is a piece of goddess history that is there. It is that which came before that came. So that history, the goddess energy, it exists in all of us. and it's all around us. So that's really, really why I am loving this share that we're going to be talking about exclusively here tonight. We talk about the goddess. Tonight we're going to do it in a very different way. So here's what we're going to do. Since we're talking about goddess history, I want to have all the goddesses stand up. Little, old, well, no such thing as old. I don't consider myself to be old. Wise, seasoned, you know, no matter what part of the country you're in. And so the sisters are going to be raising up the energy tonight. And so just a special treat for you brothers as we dance. Y'all can sit this one out, but we're going to dance tonight as we get ready to welcome Siba Haru to the forum. All right, everyone. the goddess history tonight with Siba Haru. Let's get it. I could be bad if I want. I could do wrong. Welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and that was A Grown Woman by Beyonce. Welcome to the history of the goddess, and that's going to be presented to us this evening by Siba Haru. We're going to go ahead and give him a very, very warm remix welcome as he joins us in the forum tonight. Peace and greetings. Hete Pu, Siba Haru, are you there?
Yes, I am. Greetings to you, Ms. Blue. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, then. Outstanding, outstanding. I first want to give a greetings to the Remix family. Of course, it's been a minute since I've been here. And I want to say greetings to you, of course, and your staff. I'd like to specifically big up Ms. Sister Munya and Sister Esther, as well as Brother Bilal. You guys are really doing some excellent work in holding down the remix. Well, I know it's been a minute since I've been here, and usually, as I oftentimes says, we scribes are like the Motel 6, whereas people go and do their things and learn new things, but when you get ready to come back home to Kemet, well, we'll leave the light on for you.
Beautiful.
You know, there's a lot that we're going to try to deal with today. And if people are familiar with my presentations in the past, you know that we like to provide you with a bit of resources and information so you can take them back with you. And so I want to just basically, just briefly try to bring people into what we're going to deal with in this particular presentation and what we're not going to deal with so that people are clear about the direction in which we're going to take. Now, when we're dealing with it, I should maybe just basically give a little history of how I actually came to this discussion. As many of you may be aware, Miss Blue is involved in doing some classes with the priestesses. And when she informed me about this, I was very interested in that because, quite naturally, I am very interested in goddess history. And for quite some time, I've been saying that it really has not been done to the standard that I think it should be done, particularly those of us who are members of the African diaspora. I think what comes to mind to me is the work by Merlin Stone, When God Was a Woman, which was an interesting book. In the beginning, it started off with some of the Kemetic, well, one of the Kemetic goddesses, that being Osset, aka Isis. But then she went to the more European, and then in listening to her presentations, it got a little bit interesting from the past. But I think that consequently, she skipped over a great deal of information that I think is valid. Now, honestly, there is no way we are going to be able to discuss the whole realm of the goddesses, but there is a particular area that I would like to concentrate this particular presentation on. And what we are looking at is we are going to be looking at goddess power. So we're not going to be looking at the more nurturing, subservient, passive, type of goddess energy that some of you may misinterpret as being the role of the goddess. It certainly is not. But we are going to look at that power dynamic, because it is our understanding of the dynamic which is quite important. Now, when I initially expressed my interest to Ms. Blue about coming to the maybe sitting in the back, because I have a policy. There are three types of temples. One is the round temple, and that is the temple of the women. The other is the square temple. That is the temple of the man. And then there is the octagon temple. My sentiment has been for a long time that we men don't need to be all up in the women's temple. You go in there too long, you're likely to come out with your fingernails polished and makeup on. We should not be up in there too often. And if we dare to go up in there, we should do so with a clear understanding of what we plan to do and know how to leave and get out of there, make our offering and do so. However, the remix over the years has become, in many regards, that octagon house or that circle or squared circle, so to speak, because it has been the place where both males and females, young and old, have been able to come together and reason with one another. And I wanted to share some of this information on the goddess history, not just in terms of maybe enlightening some of the sisters to some information they may not have been privy to, but to also enlighten some of the brothers as well. I did not want you brothers to not have access to some of this information, because one of the things that leads to a lot of confusion is that sometimes we have a misinterpretation about how we should serve a goddess. And we as men believe that in our dominance that it is the subjugation of a goddess. And I have to let you know that, and I said this, and some people misinterpret it, but I say that the essence of the goddess in power is that there is going to be levels of defiance. A goddess is not going to do what we as men will always want her to do. No, it's not her nature. And what we're going to look at is we're going to try to piece some of these things together to help us to manage dealing with the woman being in power. Now, 7 months ago, Ms. Blue did a very good presentation on the historical great librarian and scholar Hypatia. And that is one of those manifestations of goddess energy coming into the physical. Now, what we're going to do in the time that we have is that Ms. Blue and I are going to be enlightening you to some stories. And why I chose to give this the rather mundane title of Goddess History is because what we wanted to do is we wanted to tie people in not just to the information being channeled, but we wanted to tie the information to the historical references and documents so that you could do the research for yourself. This will give Ms. Blue and I the opportunity to paraphrase the stories, not read the stories in their entirety. That would take up too much of the time. But to be able to paraphrase the stories in our way, I think that's going to be culturally dynamic and interesting, and because of the style in which we do things. As you may have heard me say in previous presentations, that I am a psychopathic storyteller who loves drama. And oftentimes people look at that with a jaundiced eye and say, Siba, that is very interesting that you would say such a thing. Well, to break it down, psycho is from Psyche, the Greek goddess, which means spirit. And a psychopath, in the way in which I present it, is someone who is on a spiritual path, which I believe that I would be considered as someone with regards to Kenneth. I say that I am a storyteller, not in the sense of lying, but we use stories and drama at one time in our history as a means for educating our babies. It has only been recent that we have seen drama in the pejorative as a negative thing that we should avoid. whereas at one time it was those stories that were told by the great storytellers that were very insightful and also served as giving us philosophical, spiritual, intellectual insight and wisdom. So my aim here is to pull together these stories so that they are interesting, stimulating, thought-provoking, but that they will also elucidate some light. Now, some of the stories which Ms. Blue and I are going to be sharing with you this evening are going to probably be some things that are going to challenge you or you may not have heard about before. You may not have heard the story of how a goddess kills a god. You may not have heard a story about an oracle in the Bible. You may not have heard about the story of a female assassin who uses her charm to subdue the person she was assigned to assassinate. You may not have heard about goddesses blinding gods or goddesses who would use their fire of their words to even burn down the ark. You may not have heard about this. You may not have heard the story of Adam's first wife or know that Adam was actually a divorcee. Why did he leave his first wife? You may not have heard about some of these comedic goddesses that we are going to be dealing with. Now, there are certainly many goddesses that go outside of Kemet, and there are those who sometimes merge these goddesses with others outside of the culture. And if that works for them, then that is fine. However, I am a purist, and I am one who says that I stay in my lane. So therefore, we're not going to be looking at all of the goddesses and not even all of the African goddesses, while there are many, Sumerian, Budun, Yoruba, many, many of the goddesses. We just don't have the opportunity now to go into all of them. And to be honest with you, I am primarily comedic, so that's not my lane. What we are going to do, however, is we are going to venture somewhat from the fundamental comedic Netheru, who we are going to be speaking about, because we're going to talk about some of the Judeo-Christian cosmology that comes out of the story, that cosmological story of the creation. We're going to look at the cosmological story of Ma'at's role in the Bible. But we're looking at these from texts that had their origin in Kemet. Specifically, I am referring to the Nag Hammadi text, which is one of the stories we're going to be elaborating on. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to be provide you, if you remember from the last time I did a presentation here, we will provide you with what I call rec keys. Rec meaning knowledge in Meruneta, and the keys to those. And pretty much what it is, to put it simply, it is the URLs which we have customized to give to you. So I would recommend that if you don't have a writing utensil, if you're not sitting by a computer or what have you, and you want to follow along with some of the readings that we're going to be doing to bookmark them for yourselves, that you might want to acquire something to do that.
Yeah.
Usually, because we're going to give you this information, and what's going to happen is in order, sometimes I come here and I get so filled with the information that I wind up absorbing the time and I lose track of it, and that is unfortunate for me to not obey the time when I am a strict advocate of us doing so. So I'm going to actually, because a lot of times Ms. Blue has said to me that after a presentation, you know, Siba, there have been people who have wanted to ask questions of you and we really didn't get the opportunity to. So we're going to go through this information and provide it to you. So as a result, because this particular presentation is not simply going to be only with kinetics, I'm not going to do the Meder Sesh, the scribe's prayer, as I usually recite it. We are not going to go into goddess magic or the goddess rituals. Now, I will say that for those of you who are involved in the Priestess program with Ms. Bloom, that she has convinced me that I'll be all right going in the round circle for a while. And we're going to be providing some information. She and I are working collaboratively on pulling some of that information together so that we can actually look at and dwell into some of those aspects of it. But for the purposes of now, we are going to more or less take a historical research perspective, and the emphasis is going to be providing you with the information so that those of you who are involved with the Priestess program, which she and the other sisters are doing, those of you who are involved in that will be able to, if you choose to, piggyback on some of the information, and again, we'll use some of the rituals and other more hands-on aspects for the Priestess workshop. I would encourage you to contact Ms. Blue about that if you're interested in attending. Blue, is the course still open for people?
No, not at this time. It's not open. But I know the sisters are very excited about you coming to speak to the Priestesshood and being able to share that.
Okay. All right. And well, please do me a favor. Keep me on schedule with my time and how we're going to do these things.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, as I say again, so we're going to look at the historical aspects and deal with those stories that you may not have heard before, with a concentration on looking at the power of the goddesses. Now, some people might say that this moves away from the beauty, but there is beauty in power when manifested in the women, and we are going to look at that power, and we're going to also look at some of what will be characterized by many as defiance and why that is necessary in order to bring about creation. So we're going to look at the historical aspects. We're not going to really go into a lot of the rituals or some of the ritual aspects, which we do. We're going to get through that, open it up for questions, and right before that, I'm going to make an announcement about the presentation Ms. Blue has requested that I give regarding Kemet, which will be specifically relating to Kemet. And that we'll talk about that as we move on.
So also, if I can jump in there really quick, Siva Haru, for those of you who are self-invested, because you're already PMing me, Siva Haru will be doing a presentation, and we'll hear about this a little later, in self-invested. So for those of you who are in the self-invested program, know that Siva Haru will be there as well, too. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So is there anything else that we need to touch base on, anything else before we proceed? Or
we are ready to go, Siva. I don't think there's anything else. We have covered it, and we're ready.
All right. Outstanding. Well, I want to let people know that how we're going to do this. I want to try to give you at least, you know, the approach to it. We're going to look at a couple of the ancient Kemetic goddesses. We're going to talk about two stories from ancient Kemet. We are then going to look at some of the Judeo-Christian cosmology. We're going to look at the story of the origin of the cosmos. We're going to also look at the relationship between Adam and his first wife, Lilith, and why that broke down and what was the ultimate result of that. And then we are going to go to the Nag Hammadi text, wherein we are going to, you're going to see a plethora of goddesses and the actions that they are involved in. And throughout it all, we're going to try to hopefully tie this all together and then open it up for questions. Now, the first part of the presentation deals a little bit with prehistory. And I want to say this to you because this comes from my research. There are not much resources to go and validate whether or not this is what the case is, but it is through the process of deductive reasoning that I come to some of these conclusions. So this initial discussion on some of the prehistory of the goddesses and how that comes into effect is basically my own reasoning. However, when we go into the other references, we will provide you, as I've said, with the ret keys. And those will be the actual links that you can go to follow along with us as we move forward. All right.
Yes.
Having said that, then, I want to say this also. Please forgive. I live in the Bronx,
yes.
New York, and I live in a building full of artists and musicians. And today there is an elder whose birthday is today. I would like to just say to Elder Cookie, I love you. I respect you. You are so appreciated, and I appreciate you for understanding why I had to depart as early as I did. But you are loved and a dear mother to not only myself, but to so many others, and I appreciate you. Also, therefore, if you hear any noise in the background, because sometimes the musicians late at night, they get there, you know. I live on the top floor of my quaint little building, and it's only two apartments up here, and he's right next door. So should they get a little louder, I've closed the windows down and tried to get it as quiet as possible here. But if should you hear any noise in the background, then please excuse it. Those of you who live in the city in New York or in the Bronx have any idea, you know how Gun Hill is. Let's get it done. Let's talk about why this and how this energy comes into being and why. Now, we see and we look in ancient Kemet and we see some of the history, and even before we go there, we look at the anthropologists, and I've spoken about this in the past, but for those of you who may not have heard it, is that we are reminded of the notion of the hunters and the gatherers. And it is the male who was considered to be the hunter and the women who were considered the gatherers. So she basically was able to bring something to the table. And so we look at these fundamentals of life would be food, clothes, and shelter, the basics of life. And what we see in the role of the women, that the women play the role of the thresholds. We see this manifested in the goddesses of old time, and we see this in the perspective of the women's role in childbirth.
Yes.
The women's role in dealing with death. The woman was at the beginning and the end. We see this manifested in the stories of Osset being Isis and her sister Nephthys, when they are both in the roles of midwives at childbirth, and yet they are also in the roles of mourners when a person makes their landing or makes their transition to the next level.
Yes.
So we see that the women in the times of old in the household, it was the women who were involved with the childbearing. They were together. They had a birthing room. They had their amulets and their rituals that they dealt with when it was dealing with childbirth. Now, this idea of how this, which really is the foundation of the spirituality, which goes somewhat into contrast from science or the scientific method. Now, some people might be inclined to misconstrue this into thinking that, well, the women were dealing with the intangibles, and as a result, we become hard-lined in our thinking. We tend to believe that if we can't see it, touch it, hold it, then it does not exist. And this was a shortcoming that the women did not subject themselves to. And part of why the science of spirituality, if we could merge the two concepts together, because it is in a sense a science, is that they found themselves in situations where they looked at nature. So the woman who is responsible in old time for the nurturing not only of the children, but the woman is the first farmer. She was the first one to nurture the animals. This is why we have spoken before that working with animals and livestock is known as husbandry. So she,
yes,
in essence, is married to the earth. And as a result, with her responsibility, which was quite broad when you think about it, the maintenance of the children, livestock, and the growing of vegetables, and as well as other roles that she was responsible for. Now, we see, and we have already discussed in the past, how the woman really is at the root of civilization. And why so? Is because if she, as I postulate, is involved as the first farmer, then therefore it is likely to reason that she is also responsible for the creation of the plow. Now, the plow is very important to civilization. It's almost as important, second to nothing, but probably fire and the wheel, because what the plow did was it allowed the cultivation of a much wider area of land. So
Yes. You
can envision that a woman, the story in the vision I saw is a woman sitting down, and at one time when they're doing the back-breaking work of breaking up the soil with their sticks and shovels to till the soil so that they could do the planting, more than likely one day observed the cattle who had gone amongst the bushes and was pulling a part of a dead tree, and noticed that as the cow was trying to move the tree, that the bark of the tree was actually tearing up the ground. Eureka. This unnamed woman in history thought to herself, wow, if there is a way that I can cultivate the power of that cow to assist me in doing the work, then the crops will be even more plentiful than what they are now. So while we do not know who is the inventor of the plow, whether it was male or female, it is a reasonable assumption to say that this was certainly based on the woman, who is more likely, since that was part of her job anyway. I mean, just
right.
As in the case where it would be reasonable to assume that the first bow and arrow was created by a male, and specifically since they were the ones who were involved in hunting. So,
right.
That introduction of the plow results in an expanded food supply, and once you have an expanded food supply, you move from being nomadic, meaning we had to constantly move, to actually now being able to establish a stationary place. So we go from village to city to state to nation to empire. So we can look at that invention as being a very crucial part of leading to civilization, because once people no longer have to worry about food, then it gives them the ability to work on other things, such as the cultivation of their minds and their wisdom. Now,
right.
The woman being the first farmer, not only to this invention, but she also began to look at things and see patterns. And these patterns that existed were when she looked at, and we've heard this before, when we look at the book many of us have referred to called the Kabbalion, the book on Hermetic being Tehudian philosophy. And it talks about those seven principles. And one of those principles is the principle of correspondence, which says, as above, so below. As below, so above. And what we see is that another unnamed woman lost to us in history would notice that there were certain times when certain stars, constellations, where this was the best time for planting. At other times, there was a different time for sowing. And so she began to notice that based upon the constellation or the tides or looking at nature, that this also gave her insight into being able to make a determination as to which times would be most plentiful for the production and harvesting of food. Again, key. And so, through this, through the acquisition of food and the understanding of the link between the terrestrial and the celestial bodies, the earth and the heavens above, this became the precursor for the basis of religion. Because to the people of old time, what was important was that those things which led to you getting fed were divine. The things that led to the creation and production of food so that you could eat were divine. We still carry this over today when we grace our food and say our prayers and thanks for having been given these things. This was a development of the woman from the earth looking into the heavens and then making these relationships that started. Now, as we move further up, we see that as the constellations and the science behind it, and much of that has come into being based upon these observations with that the women, we can assume, were making. Now, as the society develops, and we're looking again at Kemet, and again, as I've said, we can look beyond Kemet, but I don't like to merge these things because sometimes when we start adding these other cultures, what happens is we start confusing our own deities. So, for example, I know that the whole thing with the Baron Samedi and the Mama Bridget got hot for a minute, but that was really a bastardization of Asar and Aset. Asar, Osiris, Aset, Isis, is the lord of the underworld, Amenta, the hidden place. And when we kind of merge these cultures over into other things, then rather than finding someone who possesses the character of an Osset and Asar in the histories, we wind up with someone from other cultures who pretty much, rather than a judge of the dead, is a tormentor of them. Or we find that Osset, who is quite knowledgeable and witty, is now turned into a white woman who is rather vulgar and out of pocket. So, again, the focus on our stories and trying to keep those stories as pure as possible in terms of the guidance energy is, again, one of the aims that we'll be dealing with as we proceed. Now, having said that, we're going to go back and we're going to deal with some of the ancient Kemetic goddesses. Now, I think I heard the other day where you were dealing with the notion of snakes. Were you not, Blue? You were talking about the serpents. And women?
It might have been mentioned, yes, on one of the shows. I believe it was. I mentioned it quite a bit, so I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay, because we want to talk about some of the power. Because a lot of times, and this serpent point is going to get raised, because we've seen a lot of the discussions. When we look in the biblical story of the serpent, and the serpent has a relatively bad reputation. In ancient Kemet, you have many serpent goddesses. You have Renenutet. You have Mary Saba. And you have Edjo. You have these serpent goddesses because the serpent, the snake, was associated with the woman because it was associated with childbirth, creativity, regeneration because of the shedding of his skin, and rebirth. All of these were these serpent neteru, these serpent goddesses were protectoresses. They protected you. But they were all good. So when, again, as the history changes, the role changes. In fact, the only evil serpent in ancient Kemet is a male, and that is Apep, Apophis, the Greeks call him. And that's the only one who actually tries to bind Ptah from having him free himself in order to create. And that's something, excuse me, we want to keep being mindful of, this binding by serpentine power to block creation. Mm. And also, excuse me, why it becomes the role then of the woman and the defiance that comes as a result of creation. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at two ancient Kemetic stories that are going to deal with the power aspect, the power dynamic of the ancient Kemetic women. So we're going to look at the story where we're going to talk about, in particular, and Ms. Blue is going to assist me with this, is going to be the story of Re, or some people say Ra, and Orset, Re and Isis. And we are also going to deal with the legend of the destruction of mankind. Because these are ancient Kemetic stories. And you may see some themes that come out of these stories as we proceed. So when we are looking at these, when we are looking at these goddesses and their power and influence, we want to be able to show, which might be somewhat disturbing to us at first from a preliminary perspective. So we really do have to go a little bit deeper into doing the analysis so that we don't get into misinterpretations, because some of these things are going to be quite defined. The stories of, you know, when you think of the woman being associated with childbirth, as I said a little earlier, these goddesses were also involved with giving life and taking life.
Yes.
And this is a very powerful perspective that one needs to be aware of in doing this research. So we're going to move relatively quickly because I can be long-winded, and we're already at a little past 11 a.m. here in New York. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at two Kemetic stories and do the power dynamic, and then we're going to move from there to the other stories and give ourselves a break after that. The first story, Blue, are you going to do the first one when we're talking about? All right. Mm-hmm. So the first story is going to be presented to you by Ms. Blue, and it's very interesting. As many shows as Ms. Blue has done over the years, she seems very anxious about this one. And I said, you're going to be quite okay. Don't get nervous. But she put the time into this. In fact, she insisted that she be here to participate in this one. And I am So what we're going to first talk about is we're going to talk about this story, which Ms. Blue is going to share with you. She's going to provide you with the recce. Let me talk about the recce. The recce is simply a short way of saying the preface to the links. We customize the links, which is going to be www.tinyurl.com and followed by the latter part of the information. So she's going to give you those keys to get you to the story.
Yeah.
This is an ancient Kemetic story that comes out of some of the writings, by the way, of Plutarch. Isis de Osiride, which is on Isis and Osiris. But this particular link that she's going to give you comes from a particular reference, and I'm going to now step back and give Ms. Blue a chance to do it before she says I stepped all over her and got it. So let me submit to the goddess and give her the opportunity to take her information. And I will, however, chime in, because we have had an agreement that we will both be chiming in with one another just to provide additional information, because there is a lot to cover. So I hope I've set a pretty good foundation. And without further ado, Ms. Blue, it's your turn.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that, Siva Haru. And I want to make sure, because I know that we're going to go over both of these stories here. And the first one that we're going to be presenting, so I can give them the correct rec key, we're going to be talking about the legend of Ra and Offset.
Yes.
You want to do that one
Ray.
First? Ra
yes.
or Ray. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll do that one first. All right, well, I want to give out the rec key first for everyone so you guys can take a look at this. I'm going to kind of be doing this blue style. So Siva Haru is going to kind of help me out on this one. And so here is the rec key for you. It is www.tinyurl.com/H as in heaven, N as in Nancy, - REANDAUSET. So tinyurl.com/ HN - hyphen. It's going to be Ray and Offset. And so when you get there, you should be at Sacred Text, and this is coming from The Legend of the Gods, that's the section, and the author of this work, it comes out of the work, and many of you may know, E.A. Wells Budge is where this
Wallace.
Is. And this is Wallace, I'm sorry, Wallace, I don't know why I said Budge in there, I don't know where I got that.
No, Budge is
okay, Wallace, yeah, Wallace Budge, all right? So we're going to talk about this story, and many of you, I know you know about the god Re, and I know you know about the goddess Offset, and we have heard that creation story to talk about it. We're going to be talking about this particular story here and taking a look at how the god Re and also the god Isis sort of interchange themselves. And again, this is my interpretation of this, but you have the information here that Siva Haru, we've provided for you guys so that you can go back and you can take a look at it and you can also get your interpretation of it, and we'll be talking about this. Well, this particular story comes at a time that you have the god Re. Now, the god Re, the creator god, the god that was said to have created himself, he is the god who made heaven and earth. You know, he is the one who gave breath, the breath of life and fire and God to men and, you know, everything that was there, you know, everything, the fish, you know, everything that was in existence, the god Re had given life to. He was there even way before the pyramids, said to have been. He was there before existence had been there. So millions and millions and millions of years, this god was there. So now in a time where not only are there gods and goddesses walking the earth, but there is also what we know, kings and men and others walking the earth. Now, what happens is in this particular scenario here, when we're talking about it, the legend of Re and Offset, this is a story about change. This is also about the story where the goddess herself, the goddess Isis, the mother goddess Isis, the one that searched all over the land for her husband, Asar, and put him back together. This same goddess, and I don't know if I could use this term, but I'm going to use it so you can get a really good picture of how I'm trying to paint this for you. She sort of kind of plotted to kill the god Ra. I want you to think about that. She's a goddess. We have the god Re. He's the one who created all existence. He was there. He was said to have created himself. Is there. But now he's old. He's older. He's mature. So he's not walking. You know, he don't have that brother swag like he used to have when he was young. So as he's walking sort of at a slower pace. But he's still doing his work. He's still got his light. he still has his shine. Right. Everybody still knows. Yes.
Right. What I wanted to add on to that, I wanted to say to that is that what he had done is Ray had taken on a physical form to work, to walk amongst men and women.
Yes. Yes.
And in that physical form, he became so old. I mean, as you read the story, that he
yes.
was kind of ricky, staggering, slobbering on himself.
Slobbering
really
from the
to,
mouth.
He really got to be real shaky in that physical form.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. He did.
But,
and,
yes.
mm-hmm. No, no, go ahead, go ahead.
No. I, that's basically, the, I just wanted to make that, that point that this actually was supposed to have allegedly happened in Kemet, okay,
yes.
when the gods and goddesses walked the earth. And so this story, again, as Ms. Blue said, is about change, and as a result of, that had in part to do with Ray's age and circumstances.
Right. Right. So as he comes, you know, every day, he takes sort of his journey and walks through, which is Earth, which is his garden. This is his garden. He's walking. And there's many different paths. There's actually two paths that he takes. And if we look at these two paths of how he's taking, they sort of kind of call them the two horizons. And, as he's coming, you know, because he's, you know, like I said, he's the infinite God, you know, but now he's taken on this human form and the body is aging, as we've seen this happen as well, still happening. And, yeah, he's drooling a little bit from the mouth, but he's still doing his thing. And he's walking down the path and, you know, he's walking through the little garden in the path and, you know, he got all his little peeps with him because everybody wants to be close to him because he knows all that there is to know. The goddess Offset sees him and she thinks, wow, you know, here I am. I'm a goddess. She was born a goddess. She's the daughter of Nut. And her father was Geb. So she was already born a goddess. She came as a goddess. But she's looking at him and she's thinking, gosh, you know, I kind of got a lot of power. I got a lot of power. Because she was known throughout the land as one of the most magical goddesses there was. And she was one of those goddesses, one of the most powerful goddesses that had the knowledge of words. The power of words that could speak these things into existence. But she was thinking, if I could only have some of that power that the god Ray had, if I could get him to just really give that to me. I mean, he's old. He's drooling at the mouth. You know, he kind of got a limp in his step. I'm young, I'm beautiful, I'm sexy, I got it, I got power, I should have it. So what she does is as he's walking along, the god Ray, and he's drooling out of the mouth, we'll talk about why the drool is so important and the significance of that. It's dripping on the ground, and she gobbles and sneaks out, and she makes like a little mud pie out of the drool and the dirt that's there. She mixes it together, says her magical words, her Hika, Heka. She says her magical words, and she turns it into, some of the stories says she turns it into a bow and arrow, an arrow, a poisonous arrow that turns into a snake. And some say it's a snake. She gets it together. She waits for him to come. After she done charged it all up with all of her magic, he's limping, he's drooling, and he's walking, and he's talking, the god Ray. She takes her bow and arrow, and she shoots his ass. It hits him. And he's stunned. He's like, What just happened. So he's
right,
looking
and in
away.
In some stories, she leaves the snake, and the snake bites him on a walk. In some
yes.
of the stories.
Yes. So she shoots him with an arrow, which turns into a snake. The snake fangs come out, sticks all up in him, and he's done. You know, he's spun. He's spun and he's done. So he's there, and he's looking around because he's trying to figure out what just happened to me. What happened? What the heck happened? So all of his, you know, all his students are there. Everybody's there. They're like, what is it? Tell us what's going on. What's the matter, God? What happened? So he's trying to get himself together, hold his composure. You know, he's shaking. You know, the poison is moving all through his body, his flesh. He's already weak. And he can feel it, you know, all in his heart. He can feel everything, and he begins to just tell everybody to come to him because he thinks at this point he's literally going to die. So he's like, hey, you know, you guys come around. Come here. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, he's telling them, you know, I've been smitten by something deadly.
And what's also interesting about it is he says and makes a point, something that I did not create.
Yes. Yes.
So this is a new creation. And we may want to just give a little backdrop on, because people, we kind of get into the story without saying, why would Osset do this? Now, as we know, Osset is the mother of Heru. And there had already been several challenges by Set to destroy Heru, just as he had tried to destroy Heru's father, Asar. And so there are several stories that talks about some of the things that Osset went through to ensure that her child, Heru, was going to have his rightful place in heaven. And part of her decision to get Re to depart with his Ren, which is his secret name, who we'll talk about later on as she goes on, was to acquire that power so she could ensure her son's reign to his position.
What a mother won't do for her son. So, the god Ray, you know, is in pain at this point. I mean, it's pain like he's never felt before in his life. And as Sibra Heru said, one of the things that he recognizes, like, this didn't come from me. Like, this isn't something I created, you know. This is not of me. So as he continues to go on, you know, he really starts to have flashbacks, and that happens to you when you are in so much pain and you're being taken over by poison. Your spirit will try to separate itself from the physical body. And as this process is going on, he starts to begin to remember things. He's having flashbacks, similar to the flashbacks that people talk about in near-death experiences or when they've died and come back. And he starts to remember, wait a minute, I'm a prince. I'm the son of the prince. Like, I'm the great one. You know, I know who my father is. I have multiple names. I have multiple forms. Yeah, you have all of this, but you're still getting ready to die. This is what's happening to him. Then he starts to remember what his mother and father did for him. And he says, my father, my mother uttered my name, and they hid it, which is the Ren, in my body, you see, at birth, so that no one can have dominion over me.
And a note to this is that the Ren is the name you don't utter to anyone. That's your secret name of power that you don't give up. Now, Ray has multiple names, but he has one Ren.
One Ren, yes. So he goes through the whole emotion. Y'all know I'm emotional, so I'll tell you this. He goes through the whole emotion, and he's kind of going back over, and he's saying to himself, you know, he wished he had made this. You understand? Because if he had made this, he would have been able to cure this. But he didn't make it, so he couldn't. And he had been bitten by a serpent that he didn't see. He didn't see this. He didn't see it coming. And so at this particular point, this is when Offset says to Ray, you know, she goes to him and she says, listen, I know you don't want to die. I know you don't. But check this out. I got a lot of respect for you. You are the divine father. She says that. She said, but tell me your name. Tell me your Ren name. Give it to me. You know? She wants it. Because she knows if she gets that name, what kind of power that's going to give her. So she's trying to get him, the god Ray, to give up this secret name, his Ren. Because that's what she wanted from him.
Exactly.
So now, she is really trying her best. Like, she really kind of sweet-talking him. She's doing everything. She's, you know, she's telling him, look at you. You know, like, you know, I know you feel that pain. Look at your eyes. You know, I know you can't see. He's kind of fading in. He's fading out. And she's like, look, you give me that name, and, you know, I could kind of make all of this go away for you. You know, let's try to make a deal here.
And so ultimately what happens is in that scenario is Ray starts giving her his royal names. I am
yes.
the beginning and the end. I am the Lord of the utmost limits. I am the one who created all. I am the bringer into being. And she's like,
no,
nah,
that ain't it.
But that's
that
not
ain't
it.
That's not it.
See? And so ultimately what he then does, the pain gets to be so unbearable. I mean, he says, I'm hot and I'm cold at the same time. I'm all messed up. I don't even know what got me. This is ridiculous. Whatever. So it's so overwhelming to him that he gives the name up.
Yes.
To all set. At which point
yes.
in time, she does her magic.
Yes.
Gives him the antidote, and he's freed from that. At which point in time, he realizes, you know what? I don't want to be on the physical plane anymore. It's time for me to make a change and go spiritual. That right there, I don't really want to have to deal with that. And then he, in a way, ordains her son, Heru, as to be one of his successors on Earth.
Yes.
Now, we can gain a lot of insight from this story, from the deception, from why did the woman in terms of the power, but we need to make also a historical connection. At the time, and Offset, the worship of Offset or Isis was still in existence to about the 5th century A.D.
Right.
At the time when many of the transitions were happening, we talk about some of the intermediate periods where Kemet fell into disarray. And sometimes the people, especially after the second intermediate period when the Hyksos, outsiders invaded, the first invaders to really cause some serious damage to Kemet. Well, the people begin to lose faith in the masculine leaders. Like, all this masculine energy, all this war, all of this killing, we're trying to move away from that to a more nurturing mandala. What's up with all this negativity? And so this is where many people turn to offset the goddess energy to bring about the nurturing. And she was one who was held in high esteem for that period. The change from the aggressiveness of the male deity, because at that time, the Hyksos worshipped, they had no religion of their own. And so they came in and they started to worship Set, because they found his warlike characteristics compatible. And so Offset now is indicative of a cultural dynamic, a cultural change in the mindset of the people. Now, what's fascinating about that is that talks about, one, the flexibility of the people,
yes,
and the openness in terms of their religious theological freedoms, because you had a state deity and you had local deities. So, and there wasn't a lot of bickering over religion until, well, there was some anxiousness about Hatshepsut, and there certainly was controversy when it came down to the situation with Akhenaten.
Yes.
But by and large, there was not that type of tension throughout the history of ancient Kemet. So that story is powerful to understand, one, because we see some things here. Be advised, a goddess can be cunning. Be advised, a goddess can do things that you, as a god, may not be aware of and could possibly kill you. Also, a goddess, as Miss Blue said, for the love of their children, anything goes. There was not going to be anything that was going to stop her from seeing to it that her son, Heru, was going to, at one point in time, ascend the throne and become Lord of Upper and Lower Kemet. So these are characteristics that I think we need to examine in terms of looking at the goddess energy. And I just want to say, for the sake of moving on with the time, because we can get so caught into these stories that they'll take up so much time, we won't move into it. So I'm going to move, if it's okay with you, Boo, into the next Kemetic story.
Okay.
So the next Kemetic story is also one from the Legends of the Gods, also from E.A. Wallace's Budge's book. Also, which is derivatives, these books come from Plutarch's work on Isis and Osiris. And in this next story, the rec key for this is www.tinyurl.com/HN, as in Hetepu Network, hyphen or dash, destroy, destroy, man, man. I will repeat it. The red key is www.tinyurl.com/HN-destroy man. This is the story of the legend of the destruction of man. And this is interesting, this story, because it talks about another goddess. Some of us have heard about her before, Sekhmet, the lion-headed goddess. However, in this story, they mention her under the name of Heheru, who is Hathor. It's kind of interesting that they do that, but you know that this is, there's mixes there, because the characteristics of Hathor is a bit different from Sekhmet. But at any point in time, what happens with this story, and I will go through this story, is that, and you have the information before you to be able to go and read the story in its entirety as it was originally written without me paraphrasing it. But essentially the story goes as follows. Rei, sitting amongst the council of the gods and goddesses, begins to hear rumblings from the mankind who he's created, who is pretty much starting to become very disrespectful. These then are called the children of impotent revolt. And Ray says, wow, I mean, I created you, I made you, and now you're going to go talk bad about me like that? That's kind of messed up. I think I'm going to punish those of you who have done that. So he says and puts a message out to the company of the gods and goddesses, I'd like you all to join with me surreptitiously so no one knows that you're coming together so they don't run. We need to have a meeting. I'm actually going to seek your counsel. Very interesting. The supreme god seeking counsel from the company. That's very interesting to look at also. Because it talks about what a god must be willing to do when relating to goddesses as well. Seek the counsel. So Ray says, what do you think we should do? So they give advice, and then says, well, you know what? Sekhmet comes along, and Sekhmet says, look, punish them by killing them. If they don't disrespect you, let's just kill them. Ray says, well, you know what? Maybe we do want to get rid of some of these excess, you know, and put a stop to that. So ultimately, he says to Sekhmet, oh, my daughter, go down there and do what you got to do. Handle your business. Now, Sekhmet is a lioness. That's that fire energy from a goddess that you would really want to be careful about igniting. And ultimately, what Sekhmet does is she comes to Earth and she starts killing mankind so hard that Ray and the company look down and say, oh, my God. Ray, look, she's down here tearing it up. I mean, she's going to kill everybody. There ain't going to be nobody left. So Ray says, well, I can't tell her to stop because I gave her my word to do it. So I can't restrain her. Oh, now here goes something we need to be mindful of, brothers, when you're dealing with a goddess woman. Be careful of the things you ask her to do. Be very clear, because you might get overkill. Now, what happened is he couldn't pull back on his word once she gave it to her. He said, I give you permission. So he devised a plan. He said, listen, what we got to do? I want you guys to get mandrakes, red, and I want you to mix those mandrakes with beer. And I want you to mix the mandrakes with beer and some of the blood from the victims that she had down there and put these jugs of beer down there in the water so she'll think that that's them and we'll be able to get her nice and calm her down because she's just killing everything. Well, they do as Ray orders, make it and put the beer contraption into the water. Sekhmet sees it, says, oh, okay, more killing to do. She gets in there and drinks it. She get drunk. And when she get drunk, she just fall out and fall asleep. They actually had a comedic ritual that used to be in this, a ritual to Sekhmet with the drinking of the red beer. So she fell asleep. And then when she fell asleep, she woke up and she said, I don't want to kill nobody no more. I had enough. Let me go back up and report what has happened. And that was the way that they stopped her from doing the additional killing. Here again, we have the power of a goddess who is taking the initiative and who has to be dealt with in a way because once the word is given to her, then you can't control that. So what should remind us as men to do is that if you are God and you speak into your goddess and you give her instructions, and sometimes you might want to be just too quick with it or not go into specifics. She's going to go do her own thing. Or she might overdo it or underdo it. You would have to deal with that and not necessarily be able to stop her, especially if you authorize that and said, go ahead, it's good.
Right.
What does this suggest that we do is to be mindful of the way in which we reason with the goddess. Okay, became conscious of that. Because they weren't, that's what caused the problem. So what we have from these two stories is we have power, but we also have things of where you would have to face that in certain regards, the goddess energy is unrestrained. Which goes back to, there's a very interesting book. This is a book called Daughters of Isis.
Yes,
women
excellent.
In Egypt. And it's by Joyce Tylesley, T-Y-L-D-E. I'll get the spelling for people in a minute. But that book is very informative because it has a chapter which deals with time. And pretty much it says that time is broken into two aspects, the jet, which is the male part, which is like the point in a circle, and nihe, which is like the actual circle itself around the dot, which is the feminine. So within the time, a specific point in time would be the jet, a historical point in time. But the flow of time is symbolized by the goddess, the female energy in the circle. Okay. So in other words, if you don't make a point or a direction in time, you don't keep the energy structured or focused. And this is, but when we're saying this, is not just to get confused in terms of just a man dominate a woman or restrain her, but to provide her with the anchor, then her creativity, so that she can do her creativity, because you can't bind her. You're not going to stop her. You can only anchor her, so that she goes about the work of the creativity. So again, when we talk about the beginning of life, the end of life, the role that the woman plays in that regard, we are looking at those dynamics taking place. So what we're seeing in the goddess energy in these ancient Kemetic stories is that these women, being very powerful, are inclined when dealing with the goddess energy to do things that we men, if we want to in this scenario be as gods, may not understand, even though we may have given the authorization to do so, and in some regards have to accept that she's going to do things without any authorization from us at all. In other words, you're going to have to deal with it.
I was going to say, Steve, I'm going to give out the correct spelling for the last name, and that's Daughters of Isis, Women in Ancient Egypt by Joyce A. T-Y-L-D-E-S-L-E-Y. So Joyce A. T-Y-L-D-E-S-L-E-Y. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Tildesky. Right. That's a very good book, actually, by the way. It goes into some of those things because, again, it talks about the relationships and the energy and the roles in which the women play. But, again, it goes beyond ancient Kemet. So we just wanted to talk about those two stories in terms of the power dynamic here. What I think we should do is, I'm going to leave it to you if you had anything else you wanted to add on to. Maybe we should go have a brief break for a second before we move to Lilith.
Yes. Should we move to the next story? Right. Yes, so we certainly can. Go ahead,
okay.
Steven.
No, well, I was
all
just
right.
So
we're going to take a brief break here. Just enjoy everything about the goddess history. We have so much more to come with Siva Haru from the Hetepu Network, and everyone just enjoying the share here tonight. I see you guys. We still have some more goodies there. We're going to be doing some Q&A. Hopefully we'll have time for that. And we're going to listen to a little bit of music here. This is another one on my Save Me list. So I'm going to play this for you guys. Let's see here. Let me find it. Yeah, we're going to play this song. Let's see here. As we continue here. As we continue live in the remix, everyone. Oh, there it is. I see it right here. So we're going to play this song. I want to say welcome to you guys. Definitely, you know what to do while we're doing this. If you like the show, I want you to like it. And if you guys love it, I want you to love it over on Facebook as well. So, yeah, great cheer here this evening, all about the goddess history, which is always so cool. I see you guys out there. I see you. So, yeah, we're gonna play some music here. I'm trying to get it loaded up on the board. So give me 1 second, you guys. Give me 1 second here.
Well, while you're doing that, Blue, while you're getting this that together, let me make the announcement about the...
about the class.
Presentation that I'm going to be doing. Several people have been asking about doing some classes on ancient Kemet and trying to connect the dots. And this has compelled me because I've been getting more and more people asking me about it. We Seeb is a somewhat hermits in a way. We don't necessarily do it. This is the last time I did a presentation on the remix was about 2 years ago. So we are pretty much inclined to kind of stay in the studies. But I've realized that there has also been a request for information on connecting the dots. Simply having a historical perspective is a good thing, but it's not enough. Many people have asked, how do you actually apply what the ancient Kemetics studied and practiced to today? And so as a result, I have come up with a presentation that I will be presenting as part of Miss Blue's courses that she's doing. It is entitled Instructions for Living a Kemetic Lifestyle in the Time of Now. And pretty much what we're going to do is do a historical psychosocial, which breaks down some of the things. I won't go into all the details of it right now. However, and this is exclusive to the Remix family, I do have a copy of the syllabus prepared, which I'm going to share with you all. The presentation is going to be in a few weeks. It's pretty much set, but if anyone had anything that they wanted to add to it, they could. If you would like to...
Go ahead.
Okay. If you would like to receive a copy of the syllabus, because I know a lot of times we get out here and some of us can be very protective of our work and this, that, and the third. But to me, it is more important for the information to get out there. And I'm also going to be doing some other things in terms of some private counseling sessions with people. Some of you may know that I have a background in social work and psychology and philosophy. But at any rate, the way you can access a copy of the syllabus if you're interested in knowing specifically what we're going to be dealing with, that syllabus also has some links in it which can be used as some pre-presentation information. It provides the red keys. It also is, let me just give you the link to it. Send an email to course, course, at hetepu.net, http://.net, and you will have a copy of the syllabus. It has all my information, contact information. If you'd like to leave any questions for me or recommendations, I'm open to suggestions and what have you. But then you'll have a copy of the syllabus, which we will be dealing with. Miss Blue will be finalizing all the things. I'm pretty sure it will be sometime in the latter part of this month, but she'll certainly be keeping you aware of it. Again, that's course@hetepu.net that you will have the syllabus, which will let you know what we'll be dealing with.
All right. Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a break here. Thank you so much for that, Siva Haru. And as we continue here with the Goddess History live, the remix. So we're going to listen to a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back right after this.
Tell all the boys no, makes you feel good, yeah. I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away, oh no. You've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. Built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try. Would you let me see beneath your beautiful? Would you let me see beneath your perfect? Take it off now, girl. Take it off now, girl. I wanna see inside. Would you let see beneath your beautiful night. You let all the girls go, makes you feel good, don't it?
All right, that was Let me, Beneath Your Beautiful, it is Baby Blues, one of her favorite songs. It's by Labyrinth and the sister that's singing there. I love that song. Beneath Your Beautiful. We're live in the remix, everyone. Of course, I'm your host, Miss Blue, along with Siva Haru, who's joining us here. Siva Haru from the Hetaku Network is just a beautiful share here tonight, talking about the goddesses. Talking about the goddesses as we continue. And so let's make sure, I think Siva's still here with us. Greetings, you still there, Siva?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. All right, so what we want to now do is we've talked a little bit about, and kind of move up from some of the texts that we often don't discover and find in the Bible relating to some of these goddesses and some of the things that they were inclined to do. Now, we know in terms of talking about the cosmology of creation. And so what we have, and we've talked about this before, is we have a creation story which doesn't oftentimes get talked about, and that is in scripture, in Proverbs 8, which is basically a story of the role that Ma'at, wisdom, plays in creation. Very fascinating. The rec key for that is www.tinyurl.com/hn-proverbs, and the number 8. That's going to take you to the Gateway Bible page, and we're looking at, just for the sake of benefits, that's the King James version of it. But the Proverbs 8 story is very fascinating. If you read it, you will get the insight into the power of this goddess. Now, if we go down to about verse 22, she talks about her being with God in the beginning, before creation, before the earth was created, before everything was boundless, before day and night. So what we have is this idea of a goddess being so essential to a god, which is not surprising to us when we talk about the Kabbalion, in terms of another one of the principles discussed in this work. And by the way, you can also go to find the Kabbalion. You may have heard about this work. The Kabbalion is tinyurl.com/the Kybalion. T-H-E, Kybalion. K-Y-B-A-L-I-O-N. Now, in the Kabbalion, it talks about another one of the principles it talks about is the principle of gender. Both male and female exist in all things, which also goes into some of the work by Carl Jung, the understudy to Sigmund Freud, and his notion of anima and animus. The anima and animus is very interesting, and Ms. Blue and I go through this quite a bit, and we're not going to go through.
Yes.
The animus energy is the masculine energy in the female, and the anima energy is the feminine energy in the male, and how those energies contrast. So seeing this contrast in the beginning, in Proverbs 8 with that story. Now, as you go through that chapter and get to the latter part of it, the last two quotes, the last two verses in Proverbs 8 are very interesting in that she says, those who respect me, those who enjoy or respect or look forward to righteousness, I will be blessed them. those of you who come against me, invite death.
Mm.
This, again, is a statement that we oftentimes don't associate with the goddesses in terms of the power. She's giving you a very serious caveat, a warning, that is, which says, if you are not going to follow the righteous way, then you're going to be damned. And I was looking at it, and you may have also times heard of the ancient instructions of Kaijemni. In his writing, and I said that that particular point made by Wisdom in these two verses is very similar to the point made by Kaijemni in those ancient instructions, which says regarding the house is given to the humble and a wide seat to those who are gentle in speech indeed, but sharp knives stand at the ready for the unrighteous intruder. This point here is being made by Wisdom that if you are not going to follow righteousness, then you invite death. So we have this as a cosmological story from the Bible, which many people do not talk about. Now what we want to do is from that, go back and deal with this notion of Adam's first wife, Lilith, and what led to that relationship, and how is she also indicative of this notion of power and defiance. And so Miss Blue is going to provide us with the story of Adam and Lilith.
Yes. The Story of Lilith. Translation by John Coria. I'm going to be reading the story of Lilith, and this translation is from the Alpha Baedica Pseudo-Bensera, which states that Lilith was Adam's first wife before Eve. And here's the story. When God created his world, he created Adam. He saw that Adam was alone, and he immediately created a woman from earth, like him, for him, and named her Lilith. He brought her to Adam, and they immediately began to fight. And Adam said, "You shall lie below." And Lilith said, "You shall lie below, for we are equal, and both of us were created from earth." They did not listen to each other. And when Lilith saw the state of things, she uttered the holy name and flew in the air and fled away. Adam stood in prayer before God and said, "Master of the universe, you see the woman you gave me has already fled away." God immediately sent three angels and told them, "Go fetch Lilith. If she agrees to come, bring her. If she does not, bring her by force." The three angels went. Immediately, they caught up with her at the Red Sea, in the place where the Egyptians were destined to die. They seized her and they told her, "If you agree to come with us, come. And if not, we shall drown you in the sea." She answered, "Darlings, I know myself that God created me only to afflict babies with fatal disease when they are 8 days old. I shall have permission to harm them from their birth to the 8th day and no longer when it is a male baby. But when it's a female baby, I shall have permission for 12 days. The angels would not leave her alone until she swore by the name of God that wherever she sees them or the names in an amulet, she would not possess the babies bearing it." They then left her immediately. This is the story of Lilith, who afflicts babies with disease, from an earlier version of the Pseudo-Bensera. Yeah. Real interesting story there about Lilith, and Siva Haru is going to continue to talk to you. I see quite a few people in the chat room were saying, and LaBlue is saying, she couldn't wait to hear more about Lilith. Lilith being Adam's. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Lilith, first off, I want to give we should give people the red key to that.
That's what I was getting ready. Yeah, I was getting ready.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's okay. But I was going to say Lilith, you know, being Adam's first wife, I want to give you the ret key, and that's going to be, again, www.tinyurl.com/H N, as in Hetaku Network, dash Lilith, L-I-L-I-T-H. And that should take you right there so that you can see that translation that's done. I know from the very first time hearing that, which was a while now, many years ago, but I had never heard about Lilith. She's not one that they talk about more, a lot. You don't hear any mention of Lilith and sort of being Adam's first wife. So it's going to be really, really good so you can see, and especially her connection with babies. When you start to think about lullabies, that's where lullabies came from. When you would sing lullabies to your baby when they would be crying or left alone because they were said to have Lilith to be playing with them. And even in ancient times, and I spoke about this on the remix before, the goddess Tarawet used to have a nameplate. And those nameplates were worn by mothers who were pregnant to protect herself and the baby, again, from any kind of evil spirit. So you can see the evolution of this, which came out of a very ancient time. In fact, they would also write Tarawet's name almost like an ancient tattoo on them for protection of themselves and the babies, and often her statue of the goddess Tarawet was in the household as well to protect women and children. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, we want to look at this because, you see, this is a story, part of the story. The Sudopan Sira, I believe, was written around the 10th century A.D., it was not canonized, of course. You can imagine why it wasn't. But it had to deal with resolving a particular problem in scripture, because we're dealing with two stories that talk about how Eve came on the scene. So the first story is Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, where we have the traditional story that most of us are aware of. In Genesis 2:22, it talks about how Adam was put into a deep sleep and Eve was drawn out from his rib, which is the one we mostly are aware of. But this is in contrast with the earlier story in Genesis, being Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 pretty much says, "And God created man and women, both man and woman did he create from the earth." They were created the same day. Now, that presented a challenge because the scholars had to look at it and say, well, what happened to this first woman who was made? And she becomes associated with Lilith, becomes Lilith, the consort of Samael. Now, some of you may know about Samael when we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. "And the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair, and took them as wives." These gods, known in scripture as the Nephilim, who were on earth. Samael is the leader of the Nephilim, and we're going to talk about Samael a little later on because, again, looking at that goddess energy. So this story of the Sudopan Sira was created to deal with that. But once again, it shows the power of Lilith to say no. The issue was also over sex. You're going to lie beneath me, I'm going to get on top of you. Well, we have a lot of relationships that have challenges over sex. And what was interesting is that Adam seems to not realize or be conscious of, and I guess since he being that first, quote, man in this regard, which is interesting as it comes out of him, but all the goddesses in ancient times always were on top. When Offset has intimacy with Asar, she's on top of him. When the sky goddess Nut and Geb, she's on top of him. So it wasn't even unreasonable for her to assume that. But what happens is that when she exercises power, this presented a problem for Adam. At which point in time, she decided to recite a hekal, a word of power, left him. Now, she left him in the story, you know, mind you, the pseudo-Masiri is a Jewish text. So already within the Jewish text, they're going to have some of the inconsistencies because of their stories about the ancient Egyptians putting the Jews into slavery, which is just totally ridiculous and no historical evidence to back that. But what happens is that when Lilith defies Adam, she goes with Samael, who doesn't seem to have a problem with it, because he too is considered the dark angel who defied God when he said, "You're going to bow down to Adam." So he's basically a form of Lucifer. But he's in high ranking. He's like, "I'm not going to let this cat rule over me. You're just making him. He's not going to rule me. I'm a god."
Right.
So I'm not bowing down to him. But he, recognizing who he was, did not have a problem with Lilith being who she was. Lilith tells them, "Look, you know, I know who I am. I know what my role is." And this is very challenging. Here again, we have defiance, where Lilith defies the word of God. Bring her back. I'm not coming back. So her not coming back, and she recites law, because she's not even concerned about it. She's not even afraid. They come over to her and say, "God said you need to come back, or, you know,
we're going to drown you.
We're going to drown you, and a whole bunch of your babies is going to die." She looked at them and said, "Darling, you got to do what you got to do. But I do it. I just did what I did. And besides, I can't go back to Adam because of the law that you have, the Torah."
Right,
the
Torah.
And she lost her virginity. She had relations with Samael, so she couldn't go back. So here again we have the exercising of the goddess power to say, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to be independent. And I will do it in such a way where you, if you don't like it, you're still going to have to deal with it, because it deals with a law that even supersedes you as man.
Right.
This is important for, again, us to understand in terms of dealing with the goddess energy and the defiance, is that sometimes we, men and women, don't know certain laws, natural, spiritual, universal laws, and as a result, this causes us challenges where they can be cited to us, and we have to adhere to them whether we choose to or not. Such is the power of some of the goddesses out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, what is interesting, Siva Haru, is right before we were doing the show, I went online and on Yahoo, and I pulled up the Yahoo page, and there's a court case right now in the state of Tennessee where a judge has ordered the parents to change the name of their baby. Here's a sign and symbol for all you magic makers out there about things just being out into the ethers. So I started to read it, even though it was close to the time of the show. And actually, I was talking with Esther at the time. And it was interesting because the mother and father named their child Messiah. And the judge ordered that the child's name be changed to Martin. Now, what was interesting about the story is that the father said, "Well, I should be able to name my child whoever I want to name my child."
And the judge said, no, there is only one and only person who can carry the name of Messiah, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, on the website, on the Yahoo homepage, where they put the print ad for the story, there was a piece of paper, and it was a woman holding the piece of paper, and at the top it said baby's name, and they had a list of all of these names, and the name they had circled was Samuel. Hmm. I thought that was really interesting, because the judge is saying you can't name your child Messiah, but the example of the name that they're saying they should have named the child, Samuel, letting you know still where that influence is, because we're here talking about sort of this Christian influence in this story and how things have been taken out. And here we are in 2013, and things are still being taken out that have already been taken out. But they had the name Samuel circled as if to say, yeah, these people of that energy of Samuel, which is that defiant energy that steps outside of some of those boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a very interesting coincidence. Sama,
yeah.
in the text, it's Sama, S-A-M-A, find L, God. But Samael was blinded. It was actually, because you know what, let's just go then to the next story. And this is a fascinating story. This is probably, there's so much goddess energy taking place in this story that it's like hard to keep up with. And what we're talking about, again, we're talking about the Nag Hammadi text. Nag Hammadi is in ancient Egypt. This is pretty much early Christianity. We're looking at what are known as the Gnostic writings, the knowledge writings, which they talk about. And in this, they have a fascinating story. This is a cosmological story. It is called The Reality of the Rulers. It is also known as the Hypostasis of the Archons.
Yes.
And what this story does, now let me give you the red key for this to the Nag Hammadi library where the text is. tinyurl.com/hn-reality-of-rulers. Again, tinyurl.com/hn-reality-of-rulers. Now, as we start trying to bring this energy together and looking at these goddess energy, what we have here is a collection of goddesses. In a sense, we have Ma'at, who is defined as Pistis Sophia. And just to paraphrase it, because we're running kind of time, is, wow, just jumping on us. I'm going to pretty much paraphrase the story just in terms of, because I do want to get to questions and answers this time in some way. In the story, we have a situation where Ma'at, Pistis Sophia, Sophia meaning wisdom, as in the love of wisdom, Philo, Sophia, wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, the love of Ma'at. At any rate, what happens is that wisdom, Ma'at, steps out of incorruptibility, steps out of the entirety of perfection. And when she comes out of perfection, because this is the realm of perfection, and in perfection there's no movement. You don't add on or take away from perfection.
Right.
And so in that regard, perfection restricts creativity. And what it says is that Ma'at stepped out of perfection and by virtue of her shadow produced matter to bring into existence the material world. And from this matter in the darkness, this gave birth to Samael. And when Samael saw the vastness and didn't see that which was above him, he said, I'm God, and I've run all of this right here. All of this is mine. There's nobody greater than me. Then all of a sudden, he heard a voice that says, you a fool. And then all of a sudden, wisdom outstretched her finger and pointed it downward. And from it was a flash of light that went down into the abyss and flashed back up and was gone. They asked Samael, now it flashed down and was gone, and on under Samael are these rulers on earth who control things. And they saw this reflection. They said, oh my God, what was that? Samael ain't saying nothing. Samael's quiet. Now, they said, you are a damn fool and you're arrogant. You don't run over here. So my flash of lightning was gone. So the rulers saw this and said, wow, that was a beautiful image. That came from somewhere beyond Samael. Let's do this. Let us make a man that will be her male counterpart so that we can bring her down to earth and put her on the physical realm so we will have control over her. Now, we've already seen that in the Pseudo-Ben-Sirah, it says that Samael went, that Lilith went and got with Samael. In the reality of the ruler story, it's pretty much that the Samael, it doesn't mention its consort, but that would be Lilith. It's pretty much that the Samael was androgynous, and Samael had 7 children. Now, one of his children was named Sabaoth. And Sabaoth saw what had happened and was like, wow, you know what? I don't want to deal with my father. I want to deal with that goddess energy. Now, my aunt also had a daughter. Her daughter's name was Zoe.
Zoe, yeah.
Life. So, Zoe, the goddess Zoe, becomes the teacher to Sabaoth. Sabaoth is also seen where we get the word the Sabbath. So when she taught Sabaoth so he could rule another part of heaven, now the rulers on earth said, we want to make this man and produce Adam. So they produce Adam and bring Adam to go and make these, to name the animals. But they can't really give him a spirit. He just have a soul. Now, Zoe come down, and Zoe breathes the spirit into Adam. And Adam says, you are the one who gave me life. So Adam credits the female goddess with the one who given him life, but the rulers saw that and was like, well, who is this chick right here? We know what we need to do. She's from somewhere. She's not amongst us. Check it out. Let's grab her. Let's grab her and rape her. And when we rape her, we will make her, once we soil her, she will be earthly and she will be under us. Zoe's not having that. So what Zoe do is she run. And they chase her around, and she basically kill him, but she go into a tree. The tree of life. Remember, this is Zoe. And they go and try to defile her, but instead they defile the tree. And as a result, they defile themselves. Now, we come to the point of Adam and Eve, and we all know the story of Cain and Abel, but you also know that Cain and Abel, when we look at the forgotten books of Eden, this is part of the Pseudepigraphica, the Apocrypha, fascinating work. We find that Cain and Abel also had twin sisters. Nobody talks about that very often. So Cain's twin sister was Lulua, and Abel's twin sister was called Akia, sometimes Akima. Now, it seems as if these twin sisters were the opposites of their brothers. So where Cain was allegedly supposed to be kind of hateful, as a matter of fact, the word Cain means hater, he's supposed to be a hater. Lulua was beautiful. And while Akia, she wasn't necessarily a bad person. She didn't do any bad, but she was more like the opposite of Abel. She's a bit more outspoken and defiant. Anyway, if we go back to the forgotten books of Eden, the recce for that story is tinyurl.com/hn-forbidden, F-O-R-B-I-D-D-E-N. And that will take you to the Forgotten Books of Eden, which is by Rutherford Pratt. And that is part of the Apocrypha, the Pseudepigraphica. When we talk about in those, these are books that were considered spiritual but did not become canonized. They did not make their way into the official Bible, but they have been around for a very long time. So they didn't, they're not canonized. They're not considered part of the ecclesiastical works that were put out there. So they don't make it, but they, for many people, they had that. So in that story, if you go to that, if you go to the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 75 talks about how pretty much Cain killed his brother Abel, not because of the offering, but Cain killed his brother over the choice of sister slash wife he was going to have. He didn't want Akia. He wanted Lulua. But Lulua wasn't ordained to him, and he killed his brother over him having the different sister. It said that he killed, when Cain killed Abel, he was, Cain was 17 and a half and Abel was 15 and a half. So he, Abel was ordained to the older sister. This is very interesting. We look at Lulua being the older sister who is going to be associated with the symbolic good manifestation of Adam. Abel is ordained to his older sister, which is going to be a match for the perfection. But Cain kills him and takes Lulua for his own. Now, once we go into the second book of Adam and Eve, we go into some very interesting stories. This is very interesting because we find out that Adam and Eve, once banished from the garden now, are living in caves with their dead. They take Abel's body into a cave, a crypt, and they live in the crypt with his body in the caves. Now, in the second book of Adam and Eve, what you get is you get a story of how now Adam's new latest child, because Adam and Eve had more children, Adam had his son Seth, which is very interesting when we say Seth, because Seth is also associated with Set, but here Seth is supposed to be good. Interesting. But
yeah.
We have Seth. Now, at the point of having Seth, we also get to the point of saying, okay, when we look at Seth, Seth also has a sister. Her name is Noria. Now, they don't talk about Noria very often because Noria is seen as the perfection. Noria is straight defiant. Shorty girl is not taking any shorts. So now, what happens is that Seth goes out of the mountain to go and pray and make his offerings, and he comes in contact with this entity that says, oh, Seth, why are you up here living out here, you know, all in that cave, in that crypt? That's kind of nasty down there, you know. Look, I know a place where there's all kinds of beautiful women, and you know what? We don't got to bow to anybody because we all gods. You know, come with me, and you'll be good. So he now says, well, I don't really go anywhere without my parents' permission. So he's like, well, nah, you need to come with me. And he gets a little bit nervous, and he runs, and he goes, tells Adam, and Adam says, oh, my goodness, that was the devil. You see, which is interesting that, okay, you can't deal with that. Now, Adam is tight, you know, it seems as if the cave was a funky place to be. You're living in a cave with your dad, it's hot down there. So he goes out and gets on the roof and starts sleeping on the roof. It's cooler out there. He's no longer having relations with Eve. It seemed like the relationship is not as much. Now, all of a sudden, Adam has a vision of a black woman. This is very deep. Because, see, this talks about some of the challenges that Judaism, in particular, had with the role of women. So women in a subservient role. And what happened is that Adam sees a vision of this beautiful woman, black woman. She says, oh, Adam, you know what? I was supposed to be your woman, but my sister Eve got with you before, and she bore you children. But you know what? If I get with you, I will bear you children who are beautiful and who are free, and you don't need to be with her anymore, and then we could rejoice and live happily ever after. So Adam, being chemically fused, gets scared and runs from her and goes to God. Now, this is when I want to bring this to us, because this is where some of the people, and this is how some of the confusion about the goddesses goes out there, because you have the patriarchal sentiments which have issues with women in power. And so in the second book of Adam and Eve, if you look at chapter four is saying where God now admonishes Adam and says to Adam, Adam, why are you coming to me with this noise? I ask you this, can God be black? Can God be a woman? So you know how ridiculous that is for you to tell me that this was a god when they came to you in the form of a black goddess. We begin to see some of the challenges that happened, and particularly historically, the role of women in ancient Kemet was held in high esteem. Okay, in terms of her freedom, she could own property. She could take a man to court. She could run a business. You know, so compared to other women throughout history, the women in ancient Kemet had a great deal of privileges, but that was causing problems because here again, in the Judeo concept, you see, one, Adam warning Lilith to be under him. And now you see here in the second book of Adam and Eve, by way of the Pseudepigraphica, the forbidden books of Adam, the forbidden books of Eden, you will find that, okay, you have another situation where How could God be black and how could God be a woman? This is in deep contrast, again, to the historical issues which were going on, because, again, the religion or the study of Offset and that God is energy. We see it again in the notion of the black Madonna is going back to that idea of Offset cuddling Heru. So they had problems with that. And this, again, leads to the subjugation. And this is why a lot of this information is kept apart, because it looks, again, at the strength. Now, having jumped from that to make that explanation, we go back to the reality of the rulers, which says, okay, excuse me, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they defile now, once the rulers see Zoe talking to Adam and Adam praising her for having given him life, he says to her, you have given, you are the one who gave me life, the woman. All right, Zoe, the daughter of wisdom, Ma'at, who came and produced the matter to bring these things into being. They are not happy with it. So she becomes the tree of life and they defile her, but she was no longer there. She just became the tree and left.
Yes.
So it was at that point in time where now the story that we are mostly familiar with of Eve comes into place, where she comes from his rib and she's naive. Now, here is when Zoe returns. But Zoe returns in the form of a serpent. We are led to believe that the serpent in the Bible is a male. In the reality of the rulers, in the hypostasis of the icon story, the serpent comes back as a woman, which again, as I said earlier, we have several women, female deities, who are associated with the serpent. Now, Zoe now communes with Eve, and she says, the serpent, in serpent form, what did God tell you? He said, if you eat this apple, you're going to surely die. She said, stop it. If you eat that apple, you're going to gain knowledge of self and kind, and you're going to know who you are. You're not going to die. You're just going to probably be on a level like he is, and he ain't feeling that. You might even be greater than him. So now Eve, mind you, remember again, Eve is talking to a serpent. Adam is supposed to be responsible for naming the animals, but Eve can talk to them. This is a lot of things sometimes when your sisters will say that they're very, they can detect how animals feel and things of that nature. Well, at any rate, what happens is that Eve, as we know, eats the apple, gives it to Adam. God comes down and he says, yo, what did you do that for? And it's like, oh, you know what? The woman gave it to me. And the woman, Eve says, no, the serpent gave it to me. And then the serpent gets cursed for life. But Zoe just left the cell of the serpent there. She's no longer the serpent. All right. So after this encounter takes place and they're ousted and the situation with Cain and Abel goes down and what happens, and now in the story of the rulers, Seth's sister, whose name is Noria, is on the scene. But now Noria is a goddess who come through Zoe. Noria is like Zoe in the flesh. And here's what happens with her. So as time goes on, God says, man, I'm tired of all of these rulers down here, all these stuff down here. I'm going to drown everybody. Noah, you need to go make an ark so we can get off of here, so you can do whatever. So Noah goes, makes the ark and what have you, and then Noria comes and say, all right, everybody getting ready to get on. They say, nah, you're not getting on. She say, why? Well, you're not from us. You came from somewhere outside of space. You're not part of us. And Noria says, you ain't going to let me get on this ark? They say, no. So what did Noria do? Noria went and breathed on it, fire mouth, and burnt dog down. So, when she burnt the hog down, they had to go and say, well, wait a minute, you know, this goddess over here is burning the hog down. And they said, all right, look, look, she can go. Y'all leave her alone. But the rulers come to her and say, nah, you ain't with us. At this point in time, Noria goes and says, hey, you gods and goddesses who are up and above, this is me, Noria. You need to get down here and help me deal with these devils right here, right now. Get on your grind. So she, like, hollering up at the gods. So now from this comes an angel. His name is Eleloth. And he comes down from heaven. He says, Eleloth, I am sagacity. Let me show you something. Why are you doing all that screaming and yelling up to us to come down here and help you? Don't you know who you are? You are a goddess. You got more power than all of them. You can do what you want to do. What is wrong with you? Don't come up there with all that noise. So at this point in time, Noria says, oh, really? Yeah. So she asks Elela, could you break down the science? Tell me who I am. Tell me my history. Where do I come from? It's at that point in time when she breaks down the history. She says, your mother came from incorruptibility, and she moved matter around. And when she came on the scene, it produced Samael. And Samael is the one who thought that he was the bomb. And basically, it was Zoe, Wisdom's daughter, who breathed in Samael's face, you an arrogant fool, and blinded him. And basically, this is where you get that fire of voice. Y'all know how hot sister can get if you know. You get her started on fire voice. And he broke it down and gave her the whole history of where she came from as a goddess. And then pretty much the story then goes into she becomes conscious and asks, well, when will these things be done? And then, again, these are Gnostic teachings that's looking at early Christianity. When will righteousness be brought back on earth? When the righteous man comes to earth and everyone will be enlightened and we will have balance. Okay. But that story of the vote, because you see here in the hypostasis of the archons, this reality of the rulers, you have a goddess lineage. You have wisdom in the form of Pistis Sophia, producing
right.
Zoe, being life, producing Noria, being the divine energy. And so here again, when we talk about this goddess energy and we talk about how the women were taking the active role in this part of creation, that is part of the rationale why we have to look at the goddesses in different and very profound ways. Now, we have, and that's the end of that story, but we have what I think is a very interesting quote that was written on one of the stela. It is related to Sekhmet. It says, behold, I will announce the great and the small who are in the truth. Beware of the peak, for there is a lioness within her. The peak pounces. The peak pounces with the movement of a savage lioness, and she goes after him who offends her. Now, the peak is, when we talk about the peak, let me just explain that. The peak is one of the names of one of the goddesses. When we talk about Mary Saba, she's one of the serpent goddesses, and she's also known as the mountain peak. So the goddess is considered, when they call her the peak, it's like the top of mountains, the Mountains of the West, the Peak of the West is one, another one of her names. But here again, it is that going against this energy, this power, can cause you problems when she is offended. And that's just why we have to develop a new perspective on the goddess energy and how it has to be managed. That pretty much, because how much time do we have, Lou?
We have about 20 minutes.
Wow.
20 minutes.
All right. So, wow. I want to just apologize to people again, because, again, I try to bring the information to the family. And,
no,
and do
powerful,
it.
So powerful.
I apologize because there's other ways. But I want to, I guess, Blue, unless you have anything, it's maybe now open it up to questions. But I guess I want to say in closing on this part is that we have to begin to look at the energy of these goddesses in ways that may contradict how we perceive them or how we have been led to believe them from a patriarchal perspective. Because what we do is we lose sight of great power without recognizing the role of the women and the power which they have. Our inability to sometimes respect the women, because you see there's some madness going on out here. I've heard some madness going on with some of you brothers that want to be gods but ain't got a job and taking care of your business and want to actually convince your woman that she should go in certain ways and behave in certain ways that she's not comfortable with when you ain't right in your mindset. You're going to breed a lot of anxiety, tension, and problems in that relationship by trying to restrain her. She cannot be restrained in that regard. She is going to be free. What you have to do is have to manage her as a guide. When we look at some of the ancient rulers, the queens of Ethiopia, the women are the ones who went out and traveled. In ancient Egypt, the men will sit at home and do the basket weaving, and the women would go into the market and get the food and handle the business. Okay, men carry water on their heads, women carrying the water on their shoulders. Okay, she controlled certain things that was going on and certain responsibilities. She had responsibility for the maintenance of the family and the household. The Nebti, where we get the name for Nephthys, the sister of Osset, means lady of the house. So that ruling and leadership of the household was a very powerful position. And while I don't want to go in and lose up any more time, I just want to say that I offer these information to people as a perspective. We will, I hope, begin to talk more in detail about these aspects in the priestly class than we do, and do more information to it, because the time goes so quickly that it's just basically barely enough time to get the stories out. But I just want to say that the intent here, again, is to give a different perspective of the notion of what it is in terms of the goddesses and how that manifests itself, and how we need to look at some of these stories which are not necessarily as known to us or maybe considered obscure to us, to add a different dynamic in the hope that the women will recognize their power. Too many of you sisters have been conditioned so that your self-esteem and spirit seem broken and you no longer have the confidence in yourself. It is that spirit of Tarawet. When we talk about Tarawet, the goddess of protector of children, Tarawet is a hippopotamus.
Yeah.
Tarawet, you always find Tarawet standing on two legs. She ain't bent over. She got the big belly out, the breasts out, you know.
Yes.
She don't care about fashion or nothing. But she's very powerful.
That.
Because the evidence has shown that more people in Africa get killed by hippopotamus than they do by lions. So she's very powerful, ain't no joke, ain't trying to play with you. And the intent has been to really familiarize, hopefully, some of the women with some of that goddess energy that they can tap into and do more research on it. So I hope that we, and I apologize again, for not getting to the questions as I would have liked to earlier. But I'll be quiet on that and say that we will bring this, unless you have anything else you want to say, Blue, bring it to a close so that people can ask some questions. And I will just end by saying, EUS pu nephedem het tep. It is done well in peace, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Blessings. Everyone is just loving. No apologies needed. They're like, keep going, keep going. they don't care. This is definitely a very powerful share. It's always an honor, Steve, to have you come on and share this information with us. I think it is a good time. I do want to get to the questions. Do want to see if you guys have comments or questions. So I'm going to open that up, 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines as well. A very powerful share, of untold stories that definitely need to be told and given that. So this is definitely a necessity to the know. To this reality that we're in at this time, and especially when it comes to knowing your magic for real and understanding that. So boy, oh boy, self-invested, all of you guys, you're definitely in for a treat. Siva Haru is going to be teaching a class, one of the upcoming classes coming soon, as well. All of Siva Haru's contact information is in the show notes. And we will give them out before we close out this evening. So we're going to go to the phone lines because I see you guys are all on the phone. And 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone line so that I know that you're there and you have a question and you want to share. We're going to go to the phone lines. Let's see. Calling in from area code 857. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 857? We can't hear you, 857. Okay, we'll come back to 857. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Calling in from area code 646. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Good evening, the Venus family. Good evening,
Mr. Good
evening.
Okay, greetings.
Good evening, nice to see you. You sound very low.
Oh, I sound very low. I'm sorry. My name is Amanda. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Okay, greetings, right. Amanda from Brooklyn.
Yes, I just want to let you know that it's a beautiful share tonight, and I really enjoy the stories of creation because I love creation itself. And I've heard the story of the first story that you told with Terrell Ra and also Offset, and I also wanted to refer that to the Osirian drama, so The Lion King, as we all know, that story also relates to that. Going to school, as I said, I heard the story many times, and I also wanted to know if you also talk about other creation stories with, like, the Dogon, and I know there's another creation story, but I'm not familiar with the name, but I do want to know if you talk about or teach or instruct on the Dogon story, the creation story of the Dogon.
Yes, my sister, and thank you, Amanda, for the question. I talk about it, yes, because we do have other creation stories. We have creation stories which also involve the women as well, such as the Sumerian stories with Nimharsad. We have, you're right, the Dogon stories. But again, what I do, honestly, is that my basic teachings are on Kemetic studies, spirituality. What I try to do is stay within the realm of Kemet, because that's where the majority of my studies have been for the past 26 years, staying there, because of the vastness of the information is such that I realize that we need to have certain caretakers to be able to really research this information and present it from an African-centered perspective. What happens periodically, and I would imagine some of the other teachers out here, which is what Siba means, teacher, instructor, some of the others from the different backgrounds are what may notice that periodically there's a rise and fall, an ebb and flow in people's interest in Kemet. And then what happens is that with the reintroduction of it, or when it has its lulls, when people choose to look at and investigate other things, I think it's important for those of us who do the research to make sure that we continue to teach the complete form, in the sense that we don't let other people take our information and distort it and present it to us in ways where we lose the sense of where that came from. That's a great injustice to our culture and our history. So in answer to your question, my sister, yes, I do talk about other creation stories, other cosmological stories that are there, and there are actually several more in Kemet, which we did not get to. But my basic focus is on Kemet, even though I am aware of the story of the Dogon as well as the Sumerian and other cultures.
Would you be able to tell me some other stories out of Kemet that I can start researching on my own and getting into? Creation stories?
Yes. One of the things I would say, if I could just say this, Siva, is definitely one place is you can go back to the archives. So you can go back in the archives, because there are many stories that we did there that were really, really great, that Siva Haru presented there. Some other shows as well. Yes.
Right. And you can also look for the story of Nes Menu. N-E-S-M-E-N-U. This is one of the older creation stories. This goes back to the story of Ptah and Apep, the binding, the evil serpent who tries to impede Ptah's willingness to create. But also, if you, my sister, because the way I've set it up, and there's some things I'm trying to get the Hetepu Network back into online in the way it has. So just some things that I've been doing and have had to actually study and develop within myself. But if you send the email to course@hetepu.net, it has those direct links to the shows I did several years ago. I think the last show I did was 2 years ago, and one several years before that. And they are shows wherein Miss Blue and I did some detailed information on ancient Kemet, looking at not only the cosmological creation stories, but we also looked at what's known as the eschatology, judgment stories. And you should find that helpful.
Yes, a lot of great information there. Yes, beautiful, beautiful. All right, thank you for calling in. You're welcome. Just a very, very powerful show. Definitely, Siva, we're going to definitely have you come back, because everybody is like, you know, just more. It's always a great share. I do want you to give out your contact information again so people can be very clear. It's in the show notes, but so that they can have it, those who are listening online, and give us some closing remarks so we do not get cut off, that we do close ourselves out.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just say is that, once again, I'd like to thank you, Ms. Blue, and your staff for having invited me. One. Two, again, if you send an email, I have it set up to auto respond, so you won't have to wait for me to do it. You automatically receive it. If you send an email to course@hetepu.net, course@httpw.net, Hetepu is a Kemetic word for we bring peace offerings, the plural, by the way. We are in the process of putting together the site back on. I actually want to be doing some things with a podcast, a weekly podcast.
Beautiful.
Because people have been asking me about these things. And I'm also going to be doing some, again, individual counseling. I have to work that out. I don't want to get too caught into that, but I've had so many people come to me about how do you actually apply this to that on an individual basis. And I'm trying to work something like that out, and I'll get back to people with more information on that. My direct email address is on the course outline, is on the syllabus, Heru, H-E-R-U, at hetepu.net. We have a comment line where you can leave a comment, 347-329-5522, 347-329-5522. You can leave a comment for me there. Again, the presentation that I'll be doing is Instructions for Living a Kemetic Lifestyle in the Time of Now. The syllabus is very detailed. It speaks for itself, and it also gives some preparatory work that people might want to research before they come to the presentation. Again, I like to try to make these presentations such that you have information to go back and research for yourself, so that we just don't look at it. Because once we get the research, and this is probably what's going to come out in the priestess workshop that Ms. Blue has asked me to participate in for the one session, is that once you have the reality, the research, then it makes it easier for us to get to the magic. Because
right.
The combination of the two makes them stronger. Sometimes we jump to the magic without giving the research, and that puts us in situations where you're challenged. I had a real intense debate earlier this week in talking about this presentation with someone who was really struggling with what they suspected was in my mind, that Adam was a divorcee and this Lilith thing didn't exist, and it was very... And I say that because it is important that if you're going to come out with certain sentiments and ideas that come out, that you need to be aware of them, so that, you know, you need to at least have your ducks centered right, your information correct, and to teach the complete fool. That way, I also find that if someone wants to challenge me, and then there are some cases where that does happen, and I look forward to it, that we're at least able to go to the references in the research. Whether you agree, like me, dislike me, think I'm whatever or whatever, whatever personal thing, to at least say I respect the research and I can get something from that, to even if you want to use that to contest or challenge what I'm saying. So I think that arming the people with the information with which we can put our hands on to, this is the beauty about ancient Kemet. Ancient Kemet does not require a disclaimer. It is what it is. It does not change. It is unalterable. And thank the Almighty Creator for having our ancestors giving us information that is written, information that is etched in stone for us to do this research for ourselves before someone else takes it away from us.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Siva. Thank you so much. An amazing share here tonight, you guys. And you know what to do. If you like it, I want you to like it. If you love it, I want you to love it. Give feedback here, feedback on Facebook, feedback on iTunes. Send feedback to Siva Haru and download. Definitely.
Yes, please
you must do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Please send me feedback. See, sometimes I try to get to the question. I don't know what it is. I have to actually meditate on it because I know that I don't come out here very often. I don't do many presentations because, for the most part, the information doesn't change. It's just getting the mastery of it. But
yes,
Do feel comfortable to ask questions, because I realize every time I seem to finish a presentation, people don't ask me questions.
Yes. Well, it's taken a while, and everybody is still saying that, you know, they want more, and they're going to be downloading and contacting you.
I understand. And I know that people actually do the research. So, again,
yes.
Thanks, everyone. Beautiful. Thanks to Remix Family. Looking
yes.
forward to everyone coming. And, again, Ms. Blue, I thank you. And,
thank you, Siva. Love you, Siva.
Likewise, I love you too. Hetepu.
Peace, Hetepu. Peace and blessings, you guys. Much love, one spirit. We're going to get ready to get out of here. An amazing share, you guys. Download. Look for your comments and feedbacks. See you next week. Peace and love.